I would like to tell you a story from the Old Testament. It's a story you've heard before. You've maybe heard me. I often tell it as an example of why the words that some of our Christian friends often use, the words biblical marriage, might not mean what they think they mean, but that's not why I'm telling it today. That part of the story is not important for the point for this sermon. But here we go. There was a man named Isaac who had twin sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau was the oldest by a few minutes. And that meant that he would inherit the majority of his father's property. That's the way it was back then. The oldest son was meant to carry on the family legacy by maintaining the family property, etc. It was his birthright. Esau was also bigger and stronger than Jacob. He was a great hunter. He was well suited to being the heir of the family fortune. Jacob, on the other hand, was sneaky. He was conniving. And as the story goes, not only did he get his older brother when Esau had come in from hunting and was very hungry, not only did he get his older brother to trade his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of soup, not only that, he also tricked their father, Isaac, when he was elderly and blind, into giving him the blessing that was meant for Esau, effectively sealing the deal, so that he would indeed be treated as the older brother at his father's death instead of Esau. Of course, then he had to flee for his life. He fled to the land of his mother's family and stayed there with his uncle Laban. For many, many years, he worked there for his uncle. This is the part of the story that I usually focus on. This is the part where he ends up working for Laban for 14 years so that he can purchase four women to be his brides. That's how he ends up with 12 sons and who knows how many daughters and becomes known as Israel. The 12 sons is how we end up with 12 tribes. But today, the marriage part of the story is not important. Today, I want to say that Jacob never stopped being a trickster. The story goes into significant detail about how he also scammed his uncle. So that eventually, by the end of his stay in Laban's land, not only did he have four wives, he had many servants, huge flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle and camels, droves of donkeys. And when Jacob returned to his homeland, he was a very rich man. But despite this wealth, Jacob was worried. So worried, in fact, that as he reached the border of his homeland, camping overnight, he had a dream, a vision of wrestling with God, and he woke up with a limp. He wrestled with God because he was afraid of what would happen when he returned home to his brother Esau, whom he had wronged so many years before. Even though the dream ended with God blessing Jacob, Jacob was still worried. So worried that he sent groups of servants ahead to meet his brother first with large gifts. Sheep, goats, camels, donkeys. At last, after this large parade of animals and servants, herd by herd, flock by flock, all gifts were met by Esau, then finally Jacob himself arrived. His wives, one by one, with their children, bowing to Esau, and finally Jacob himself bowing low to the ground 7 times until he was face to face with his brother, trembling with fear. And Esau ran forward, arms outstretched. He hugged Jacob, kissed Jacob, embraced Jacob, and they both wept. Brothers, reunited after so long. Then Esau asked, "But what is the meaning of all these herds and flocks which pass me by? And who are all these people?" And Jacob said, "These are my wives and children with which God has blessed me, and the flocks and the herds I sent ahead as a gift for you." And Esau replied, "But I have enough, my brother. I don't need your gifts. I don't need your gifts in order to forgive you." To which Jacob said, "But I want you to have them. I'm so grateful. I'm so moved that you have received me back, not with anger, but with mercy. That you have received me in forgiveness rather than vengeance. That you have offered to me your lost brother, not hatred, but have embraced me in love. Your face to me is like the face of God." Friends, every person to whom Jesus was speaking in today's gospel reading, when he told the parable of the prodigal son, every person in his hearing knew the story of Jacob and Esau. Every person, Pharisee, scribe, to common builder, fisherman, farmer, rich, poor, healthy, sick, disciple or adversary, every person knew this story. They were children of Israel. Jacob, his name changed to Israel, was their ancestor. They knew the story of Jacob's tricks, robbing his brother, fooling his father. They knew the story of God's blessings. They knew the story of Esau's forgiveness. Every one of them, I have no doubt, could quote Father Israel. "Your face to me, Esau, is like the face of God. Your merciful, forgiving, loving, and beloved face, brother. Your face, Esau, is to me like the face of God." Every person who heard Jesus' story, who heard this parable of the son who said, "Father, I wish you were already dead. Give me my inheritance now," and then went and wasted it, nearly starved to death, and had to return home afraid and ashamed, and found to his shock astounding that the father, rather than begrudgingly receiving him back as a servant, restored him to the family, gave him a robe and a ring, signs of his place in the household, and threw a party. Every person listening to Jesus, when Jesus concluded his story like this, "And at the party, the older brother got angry, very, very angry, and refused to forgive. Every person listening to Jesus' story, hearing about this older brother who refused to receive back the younger brother with mercy and forgiveness and love, every person hearing Jesus' story heard him say, "But you, who are descendants of Jacob, of Israel, you who are blessed still today because of the mercy and forgiveness and love of your uncle Esau, who represented, who became to your ancestor Jacob the face of God, you are not living like Esau. Do you really?" This is the question they heard Jesus asking. Do you really want to be like the older brother in my story? Or do you want to be like Esau, the face of God for your neighbor? This is the good news. God is mercy. God is forgiveness. God is reconciliation. God is love. And you, me, we are invited to be like Esau. We are invited to be the face of God to our brothers, our sisters, our siblings, our neighbors. No matter who they are, no matter what they've done or not done, no matter what they've been accused of, no matter what others think of them, no matter their economic status or age or marital status, ethnicity, race, country of origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, diversity of ability, religious background, no matter who they are, we're invited to be Esau to our neighbor. Not like the older brother in Jesus' story, but like the ancestor of the people of Israel. We're invited to be the face of God to our neighbor. Invited to be mercy, grace, forgiveness, welcome, hospitality, compassion, service, acceptance, love. We're invited to be Christ to our neighbor. God loves us. That's the gift, the blessing that God has given us as our birthright. And so much more. We are blessed to be called, invited to be disciples, to be the face, the hands, the heart of God as Christ's body to our neighbor. Amen.